I would just like to start off by saying that welcome to everybody who is here today. Some of you who might be visiting need to know that I am not Sam or Scott, but I am Randy Lemke, and I am an elder in training, okay? So with that, I just wanted to tell you that it is a privilege to be here, to be able to worship God with His people. It is definitely something that is special, and it happens every Sunday as we gather, and God is feeding us spiritually, whether we realize it or not. We have so many distractions in this life, and it truly is a privilege to be able to come together and worship the true and living God together. So, with that, our text today is going to be in Galatians. It's going to be 2:15 through 21 and 3:6 through 18. But first, I'd like to give you a little background information as to what is happening at the church in Galatia. Paul has been there before, and he has preached, and many have been saved, many Jews and Gentiles. And then Paul has left, and now all of the Judaizers and false teachers have infiltrated the church. And they're trying to say that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. They're saying that the law needs to be followed. And Paul is saying, no, it is by faith that we are to be saved, through faith in Christ. Okay? So that's kind of the situation that is happening there. I mean, we are talking about a new covenant that is taking place in the world. I mean, the world is getting ready to be completely turned upside down. When you think about it, you have an old system, a covenant that God has given to His people. He has chosen His people. And now, that covenant is going to be a new covenant, and it's going to be in Christ and what Christ has done on behalf of you, the believer. So, with that, I would like to read our text, and then we will explore what God has to say. And the title of the sermon is going to be Justification by Faith. Okay? Verse 15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in your endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I proved myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let's go to 3:6-18. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's going to be a very important point. Know then that it was those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So Paul is dealing with these false teachers who are saying that they have to follow the law and that we need to abide by the covenant that they're under. So in order to have an understanding of what that covenant is, let's go to Genesis. So we have an understanding of what Paul is dealing with here. Okay? So in Genesis 15, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look upward,'" or "look toward heaven, and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, 'You shall, so shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess.' But he said, 'O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?' He said to him, 'Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. And then I want to also read a sign of this covenant that God gives his people, okay? And it's circumcision, because that's the whole point in Galatians, our text today, is going to be that they are requiring the believers to be circumcised, okay, which is alignment with the old covenant. And God said to Abraham, as you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So, we have God's covenant with Abraham, and he's making it with Abraham. Okay? So that's very important to know. That at this point, there is no nation of Israel, okay? That is coming, but currently, we do not have a people of God. We have Abraham, and he's going to be the start of it, okay? And Paul's going to point back to that and say, this is how we know that it is by faith and not by works. Because all through your New Testament, you're going to find that they always want to go back to works. We always want to prove that we are the people of God. They believe they're the people of God, and yes, they are, but it's not by works. So I also want you to consider that when the people are coming out of Egypt, God told Abraham, your people are going to be afflicted for 400 years. So you have roughly 1 million people that are in Egypt, and they're there for 400 years. So in 400 years, you have like 10 generations, and they really do not know who their God is. So Moses, when he leads them out, God is going to give them the law, which is, this is who God is. He is perfect and righteous, and if you're going to be my people, then this is what it looks like to be my people. You need to be holy, set apart, because I am holy. So I'm saying the reason why that they had to know who their God was and have a law is because they didn't know him. They only had oral traditions that were being passed down. So God's going to say, this is what I require, this is who I am, and this is the law that I'm going to give you. Okay? So, they see that, okay, yeah, we're going to follow this law. But God told Abraham that I'm going to make you a great nation, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. At that time when he's given that, there's no Israel. It's only pagan nations that are there. So God is going to bless all the nations. And how is he going to do that? Well, as if you've been here, you've heard Pastor Sam talk about the seed of the woman is going to come through these lines, and he's laid it out. So ultimately, it's going to be Jesus, okay? That's the seed of the woman, and that is how all the nations will be blessed is going to be through him. So, now let's look at our text for today. I know that was a long introduction, but I just wanted to give you some background as to what was taking place and how they would have understood it at the time. Okay? Because it's written to a specific people at a specific time for our benefit. We can learn from it. We ourselves are by birth not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So, one, how is a person justified then, right? That's the real question. So that's a legal term. We have to be right before God. We have to be righteous before the true living God who created us. So either we have to get that righteousness. We have to be justified either through ourselves or through some other means or other person. Okay? That's what Paul is trying to get across to these Galatian believers who are kind of confused as to, oh, now these people are saying we got to be circumcised and we got to follow the law too in order to be God's people. And Paul's saying, nope, you need to be righteous, but the only way you're going to be righteous is that promise of faith, by faith, because Abraham, back in Genesis, God told him that he was going to be a great nation. It was a promise. Now, Abraham is never going to see that. He never sees that, but he believes what God says, and God credits him as being righteous because he believes what God says. And he's never going to see it. Not in his lifetime. So, I mean, we should think about that, and we should think, that is great news, that you know what? I'm not going to have to fulfill the law myself. I'm not going to have to do that. I have to believe what God says. It really becomes that simple, but how that plays out is pretty difficult because we, as sinful people, we are so distracted by everything that goes on in our lives that we have to constantly be reminded of who you are in Christ. Who am I? Well, I'm his child, and he loves me. He died for me. Therefore, I believe what he has said and done on my behalf. I was given his righteousness. He earned it. He lived the perfect sinless life. And we, as believers, should be excited every single day if we remember what has been done for us. It is truly amazing if you sit and you really think that, hey, I don't have to perform in order to earn this righteousness that has been earned on my behalf. I mean, that's the good news of the gospel. And when you come here corporately and you listen to a sermon and we're distracted by all the different things that are going on in our lives and we're thinking about what we got to do, what's going to happen if I don't do this, all these different things that we have going on in our life, if we will just remember that when we come here as God's people, He is feeding us, whether we realize it or not. There is something supernatural that is happening to the believer. You're being encouraged. All kinds of things are taking place. You are so privileged to be a child of the King that we should be going out from here and telling people the good news. I mean, that's what Jesus tells us, is that we need to preach the good news of the kingdom. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember, it's been about 40 years ago, I remember reading that. And I remember thinking, yeah, that is exactly what has happened. I can't live this perfect life. This Jesus who I now know, he's living this through me. And I'm not doing it perfectly. We know that. If you can examine yourself honestly, you know you're not going to do it perfectly. But we can be encouraged knowing that he's the one that is doing it through us. And if we could obtain that righteousness through the law, then Jesus died for no reason. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. So, physical Israel are not the true sons. It's only those of faith that are the true sons of Abraham. So, it's always been that way from the very beginning. Those of faith who believed what God said are the ones that are truly of Abraham. So when you consider what Paul is dealing with, he's really got a big task ahead of him, because you have all these different entities within the Galatian church that are trying to distract and lead believers away, saying, you got to do this, you got to do this. But Paul, he's a fighter. He doesn't give up. He keeps telling them, it's by faith. The true children of Abraham are by faith and not by blood or works of the law. Because in their time, you had to be a Jew in order to follow the God of creation. That salvation only came through being a Jew. There was no other nations on earth that you could be saved through. No other way. It had to be through the Jews, because they had the Word of God. They knew the true God. So, Sam said that I could go for 45 minutes, or I could go for less than that. So, we'll consider some of the other issues that Paul was dealing with when he was in Galatia. The way that these Galatians were influenced by these false teachers is that they would come in and tell them, yeah, it's Jesus, but he's a Jew and you have to be Jewish too. And we know that salvation is only coming through the Jews. So when Paul tells them that, no, that's wrong. It's through faith. And I showed you through Scripture that it's through faith. So Abraham was saved by faith. He believed God. He showed him that. Paul doesn't have a New Testament. He's going from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is telling him that salvation is through faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. And we are so fortunate that we are 2,000 years later and we can look back and say, yep, we can see through Scripture that it's through faith. So today, as we're living in the 21st century, we can say, look what God has done. We can look back and say, he's done this. The seed of the woman is in Christ Jesus. He's how we are to be saved. And you hear a lot about resting in Christ Jesus. If you have come to Sovereign Grace, you're going to hear about resting in what Jesus has done. And we're doing a summer study, Faith and Faithfulness. And it's about resting in what Jesus has done on your behalf. And it's a real blessing to be in these groups. And if you're not in a group, I would suggest that you join one. It's not too late. You'll really be blessed by it. But it's a resting of who Christ is. We don't have to perform. We don't have to work for it. You know, but as Christians, we often say, oh, he calls himself a Christian. Can you believe what he did? Well, truth be told, we can all do some pretty rotten things. None of us are righteous in ourselves. It's only in Christ that we have that righteousness. We can't claim any of it. It's what He has done on our behalf. So we rest in that, knowing what He has done. So, I guess, in conclusion, I would say, if you're here and you're a believer, we need to rest in the finished work of what Jesus did on your behalf. And if you're here and you're not a believer, you're here for a purpose today. God ordained for every person in this room to be here from the beginning of the world. So you're here for a purpose, to either be encouraged by what you've heard and know that God loves you and that He has called you to Himself. So, I hope that you have been encouraged, strengthened, so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father God, we are so thankful and grateful and privileged to know You as our Savior. And we just thank You so much for that. We ask now that You would just take Your word and it would dwell within us, Father. We would be encouraged and know that You have saved the people for Yourself, and that a person can be saved in knowing and believing in what Jesus has done on their behalf. And it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.